Bonjour, welcome to the Cool Kids Table. Je m'appelle Maggie, and I can't keep this up. That'd be really hard. Hi, welcome to the Cool Kids Table. This is certainly a unique episode because I am in the comfort of my own quarantined house. I'm not at Radio Free Brooklyn. Wish I was there. Wish I was hugging my man Spiro. Wish I was taking Instagram videos and boomerangs, signing the legs of the mannequin in the studio. But alas, I'm not, because we are in the middle of a pandemic known as the COVID-19, and you know much about it. This has been a crazy, crazy couple of weeks. My husband and I have ventured up to the Adirondacks. We've been fully quarantined for more than 14 days. We didn't see anyone, just to make sure that we weren't bringing anything with us. And we still aren't seeing anyone except each other. So I'm happy to report that we are still married, and I'm not yet sick of his face. So this is, of course, an interesting time, but we wanted to bring you new episodes of the Cool Kids Table anyways, especially for our Broadway community and all the artists. This is definitely a trying time. There's lots of people that are out of work, a lot of people trying to file for unemployment. And I just want everybody to know that if you're feeling frustrated and confused and worried about your bills and all the things that come with this entire experience, you are not alone. Everyone is feeling these things, especially artists, and we have to stick together. I heard this quote in my meditation the other day by Maya Angelou, and it said, "Hope and fear cannot exist in the same space, so let's invite hope to join us." And I think that's really nice, and I keep thinking about it every single day. And the importance of waking up grateful and knowing that we're healthy and we're safe. And, you know, we've really made an effort to make sure we pray anyway. We're a praying family, but our thoughts and prayers go out to all the medical workers and everyone who is ill right now. And for the families that have lost loved ones, this is truly devastating. And our hearts are with you. With all that being said, you know how we usually like to start the episode? It's with a random fact of kindness. Random facts of kindness. And I think this week it's especially important. So I saw some news on Good News Movement on Instagram that really touched me. There's a lot of stuff on there, especially right now when everything we see on the news is terrible. It's definitely a good place to go to get some daily sunshine. Maureen Guilford has been an employee at the Mount Pleasant Target for 17 years. And yesterday, she learned that a GoFundMe was started by a fellow shopper, Melanie Powell, to help her get a new car. And she's raised more than $20,000 in less than a day. And she says, quote, "Maureen is such a wonderful person and people purposely go in her checkout line. She's always so genuine and a friend to all. She spreads sunshine and always tells you to have a blessed day." Maureen, I guess, had to reduce her hours due to the shortened bus schedule due to the coronavirus, and is glad that she'll be on time now that she has her own car. So she was spending hours getting to work on a bus, and now she is that much closer to owning her own car. And I just thought that was so, so, so lovely. Of course, another thing that's worth mentioning is John Krasinski from The Office came out with this little web series called SGN, Some Good News. And I watched it with my husband and we laughed, and it's been shared all over Facebook. Definitely check that out online. It's worth the time. It's very sweet. And I love that it's just made in his home. Nothing fancy going on with production, but very, very cute. So this week on the podcast, lucky me, lucky you, we get to hear from my husband, Michael Stiggers Jr. He's actually been on the podcast in season one when he talked about his Broadway debut in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, and we talked about his childhood and all things Michael Stiggers. But because we're quarantined together, you get the opportunity to hear about his recent show. He joined The Lion King, which is one of the longest running Broadway musicals. So we're going to hear about that, how that transition was for him, what it's like to be in that show, such an iconic show. It's a show that really has that wow effect. I know the first time I saw it with him in it when he was making his debut, I just cried as soon as the opening started because it's so beautiful. And I was just so unbelievably proud. So we're going to hear about that. And then we're going to talk about COVID-19 and how it's affecting the Broadway community and what's going on with his show and what they're telling him and all the things that go into being quarantined as an artist. So I hope you enjoy. But no matter what, stay safe. But before we do that, a quick, very, very quick word from our sponsors. Do not go anywhere. So if you like to listen to RFB when you're not in front of your computer, please consider downloading our free mobile app for iPhone and Android, available in the App Store for iPhone or the Google Play Store for Android.
It's the cool kids table. They were never the cool kids, so they just bought a table. Now it's the cool kids table, yeah.
A coaster's only table to me.
It's protection, baby.
So without further ado, here he is, the guest that now has been on two seasons of the podcast.
Yes, bring me in. Bring me in.
We just finished church. We watched a live stream of his parents giving us church online.
Word on a Sunday. The Word.
Here he is, Michael T. Stiggers Jr.
My whole government?
Okay. Oh, and my dear husband.
Yes. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me back.
I don't know if you noticed, but I put on mascara when I went into the bathroom just for this podcast. Switch things up a little bit in quarantine.
Okay. Well, you know, what, we're 3.5 weeks in? 4 weeks in?
I don't know. My Instagram this morning, I was like, you've seen a million.
Listen, I miss the barbershop so much. So, like, you're seeing me at my worst as well. So, like, I mean,
just so
I'm not
everyone
saying that
knows.
You're at your worst. You're beautiful either way.
Aw, Michael, in this state of quarantine, has now started talking about the idea of him dyeing his hair blonde. So, that's
why not?
Where we're at.
You know, because why not? Like, for the past 3 years, I've had to always have my hair a certain way because of, you know, the show. And, you know, so, like, it's quarantine, we're stuck in the house, like, you have nothing else to do. Like, it's not like anybody important is going to see you. I mean, there may still be like self-tape situations that we have to send in, but
that's
who
true.
Cares?
Yeah,
who
cares?
Cares? They know you're locked up and you're cooped up and, you know, things happen. And so
just so for those who maybe did not hear Michael's first episode on season one of the popular, famous podcast, The Cool Kids Table, he talked about his upbringing. He grew up in Georgia. He did a lot of cruise ships. He started singing in the church. His parents are, his dad's a pastor and his mother is the first lady of the church. And she also is the choir director. And we talked a lot about you growing up. And then we talked about his Broadway debut in Beautiful, the Carole King musical.
Yeah.
Hooray, hooray.
RIP to Beautiful.
And then we had Sarah Bockle on the podcast.
That's right.
What'd you think of that episode?
My dear friend Sarah Bockle. Oh my God. So she just approaches life with just such a sense of humor that is just like all her own and specific to her. And like, she's just a joy to work with. And like, I always, you know, anything she puts out there, I'm always game for it. Shout out to Sarah Bockle. Shout out to the entire Beautiful family. I mean, that was just,
was that fun though? Like going on with different carols, you'd be like, oh, Sarah's on today.
It was always, a treat. I mean, from Sarah to Shalina to Abby. I mean, every carol, even and Vanessa, oh my God, Vanessa Carlton, who can forget? I mean, each one like brought their own like just style to the role, and like, I mean, they were all so pleasant in their own ways. You know, being around them backstage and outside of the show, I mean, they're so fun, and oh man, they're just and just unbelievably talented.
Yeah,
you know, all in their own way, they all brought their own special thing to that role and to that experience, and led us in a way that was just so graceful and just all their own. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Shout out to all of them.
Honestly, I kind of missed the show. I saw it like 15 times and I could see it again. The book was so good. I loved every second of it. But now you are in The Lion King. I mean, not currently right this moment now, but because we're in quarantine. But so I know, because I'm your wife, I know that this has been a dream of yours for a long time. Would you mind talking to us about how the experience started?
Yeah. Well, I was still doing Beautiful at the time. And it was I think it was last summer, actually. You know, I had gotten to the point with Beautiful where I wasn't necessarily ready to leave. I think all of us, you know, in the Broadway community, we can kind of be able to, we can feel when things are about to hit their stride and hit their peak and hit their end. I think we all had that feeling that Beautiful, something was going to happen with Beautiful within the next year or so. And of course, you know, agents are very in tune with that. So my agent, Irene, shout out to Irene and Didio. She got me back in with Bender Casting with Lion King. yeah, before that, my journey with The Lion King with Bender started like 10 years ago. I was a completely different person.
I love this story, y'all.
It was 10 years ago. Some of you that knew me from like 10 years ago knew I had a completely different look. I had locks down the middle of my back. And I mean, I was just a totally different person.
Ooh,
I was younger.
He was gorgeous.
10 years younger. Oh my God. So that's where kind of the journey initially started with Lion King. It was 10 years ago. You know, I can remember still being in Atlanta and having to fly up for that. It was like one of my first Broadway audition
experiences. Were you nervous?
Oh, I was greatly nervous. I was so nervous. It's so much so that, like, you know, knowing about my church upbringing and everything, and like, I had the entire community and the entire church like praying for me that I would get this. Aww. You know what I mean? Just not knowing what the business was, you know, like that any audition situation you go into, it's going to be a journey like that. It's not like you're going to go in the first time and it's going to pop for you like that, you know?
So you had audition in Atlanta. Is that what happened? You went to like an open call there first where you're from, and then they flew you up to New York?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got the email, and then I had to scramble to like, try to find some money to get a flight up to New York.
And what was that audition like? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I went in, I can't even remember what I sang, what I first sang. They had me sing something of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had me kind of go through the Simba packet, which starts with Endless Night, and mm-hmm. it goes into the argument scene with Nala. And I just remember being so fresh to that experience, and just, I was just excited to be there. And it was like for the chance to be in a Broadway show. And at that time in my life, I wasn't, you know, savvy to like really doing the work,
mm-hmm.
really like, you know, putting into the scene. I was like, okay, I got these lines down. Like, you know, like I'm prepared enough. And like,
right, yeah.
But no, it took more than that. They want you to be able to reach somewhere with this role, with the role of Simba, to be able to like pull from, you know, personal experience and to really go to an emotional place when he's singing Endless Night. You know, I just believe I didn't have the capacity at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot of experience and years later of me like going through other jobs and going through other experiences and having heartbreak and having disappointment in life and all of that goes into the pot of figuring out how to bring your personal experiences into your work.
Yeah.
So I learned that along the way.
And I remember when you got this audition, even though it was 10 years later, I know you auditioned for it again over those years, but mm-hmm. final one where you actually booked it, I remember you distinctly remembered what they had said to you in the room because you wanted to apply those notes to time,
yeah.
which was really smart, I thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, not to call anybody out, but like, I mean, the very first time I remember them saying like, you know, you sound decent, you sound pretty good singing the song, but it's not necessarily like that. Like, you have to put some emotion behind it. And honestly, it fell flat, and it was kind of like put on and kind of like showy. I remember hearing that like for the first time and kind of being like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Keeping that in mind 10 years later, you know exactly what they're still looking for.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the timing in a way was perfect because you came into it the real time prepared. You knew what you were doing. You had already been in a Broadway show. You were performing 8 shows a week anyway.
Yeah.
So you had that on your resume. Yeah. Actually, you were up for the tour, which I did not want to happen because we
had... That was that was a struggle all on its own.
Yes, because, you know, as a wife, I didn't want my husband to leave for a year, but it all worked out in our favor. He was offered the Broadway show, and right. Tell them what track you play.
Well, in the Broadway show, I'm in the men's ensemble, and I play a variety of different things that are that are going on in
mm-hmm,
the...
That are developing
in the Pride Land, in the African Serengeti. I'm the back of an elephant leg. I'm a hyena. I am a part of the grass. We are the ancestors. We are the spirit of Africa. We are all of the things.
Mm-hmm. You have had the opportunity to play Simba about eight or nine times. And y'all, it was amazing.
Thank you so much.
I can't explain to you when you see your husband take the final bow of a Broadway show and knowing the journey that it took for him to get there. It was so incredible. And I actually talked about this in the intro. Right when the very, very, very first opening number starts, I had tears streaming down my eyes. Even though you came out and you were in an elephant, so I couldn't couldn't see your face. But there is such a spectacle to the whole thing. And it really is one of those shows that it's timeless, you know, and it was packed and it's always packed. Well, do you remember that first time you played Simba? Because I know in the season one, when you talked about going on for Beautiful in your Broadway debut, you kind of blacked out a little bit. Did you remember this one a little bit more?
Yeah, I definitely remember this one. And I will say that we were well prepared for it. So the way it went was we had about a month to like learn our regular tracks in the show. And then there was a group of eight of us. Shout out to the Living Legends. That's what we call ourselves. Anyway, we all rehearsed together, and that was kind of a great experience because you actually had, you know, you don't always get that in a Broadway rehearsal schedule. Like most of the time it's just you in the room with the choreographer, but like we had other people in there with us, so that was great. We rehearsed for about a month, and then we made our Lion King debut on, I think it was November 19th. As soon as we were in, like for that weekend, we went in on a Thursday, I believe, or no, we went in on a Tuesday. As soon as that week ended, the very next week, we were in rehearsals for our principal roles, for our lead roles. I was in for Simba, Huso Simone, she was in for Nala, and we were thrown in there, and we would have rehearsals during the day, and we would still do the show at night. So
yeah, you were tired.
It was a stretch of probably about 2 or 3 weeks where we were doing that, where we were getting prepared. And then probably about another month later, we had our debuts for Simba and Nala. And it was insane. We're very tired. Yeah, also shout out to Nicholas Ward, he went in for Mufasa,
and he was also amazing the same night. Yeah, he's got that beautiful low smoky voice.
Yes,
rich
it is.
But the thing is, so with Lion King you definitely have more rehearsal than you ever did at Beautiful, but I was telling Michael, from an audience standpoint, it is kind of, you can almost tell because the singing and the chorus sounds so incredible. Like, you know, when you go see a Broadway show that's been on for a long time and you're like, you can kind of tell that they don't care as much anymore. You're not getting that feeling when you go to Lion King. I mean, sure, it is a full sound. Do you ever feel like when you're tired, you just want to lip sync, or is that kind of like a no-no?
No. I haven't gotten to that point yet. And I don't think I ever will, because for so long, I mean, this show came out in 97? I've listened to this soundtrack backwards and forwards. And I mean, even like on just a random day when it comes on my shuffle or whatever in my iTunes, and those African chants fire you up. And it's a different thing when you're like listening to it going down the street. Yeah, it like moves you. But like, it's a different thing when you're backstage with everybody else and you guys are in a circle and you're like looking at each other and you've learned the music and you've learned like what these words mean and like and what you're supposed to feel and the rhythmic percussion of the actual music. It fires you up. Like sometimes we're like moving around, dancing around. It's like another workout when we're doing the actual the chants, all that stuff, and one by one, everything.
And you were always like a huge Disney fan, but I remember when you were learning the music, you were like, oh, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's more than just like, you know, kind of this language that you never heard. It's the heart and authenticity of the land of Africa, of our ancestors. And so that, you know, that in itself just makes you want to dive in more and lean in more to it. And especially now in this time where we've been away from the show for almost a month now, I'm missing that. Those are the things that I'm missing the most about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I actually don't even remember this. When you went in for your audition, did you have to sing something from your book, or was it right to the sides?
This time around, the last time, it was just right to the sides.
Okay, cool. What would someone sing for Lion King, you think?
Well, they say to prepare kind of a pop R&B type song, something in the vein of like maybe a Stevie Wonder, like a love song, like a Donny Hathaway. Like,
what would you sing now if you had to sing for it?
Well, what did I sing? I think I sang a Stevie Wonder song. I think I sang For Once in My Life. Like, just so it was a little bit more.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah. It was all.
How's it go again?
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Anyway, you can edit that out. Whatever.
No, I like it.
Yeah, just having just singing something that I chose to like do something a little bit more upbeat, because I know Endless Night is a little bit slower pace and like it's a different side. You know, I was able to like show them a little variety with the song that I picked and the song that like they require me to do. So
yeah. And what about, since the show has been on for 23 years, is that it?
Yeah, that's 23. It.
Mm-hmm. So you've obviously joined a cast where there are some people who have been in it for years and years and years and years. years.
Totally.
So what was that like? Did they really embrace you? Do you feel like you're walking in and it feels like a little home? And who's been like particularly nice to you when you first joined?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes. Like everybody like treated me with respect and when I came into the building. And I think when you have a show that has run for this long and you have people that are part of that show for this long, it really is, it's work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they, you know, day in, day out, week in, week out, they come in for the work. And I feel like the fun of it comes once you have that work down,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they do, they take it seriously and they take it to heart. I think when you're a part of a show for so long, you do take ownership. You do take personal ownership. You can ask anybody who's been a part of a show like that for a very long stretch of time. They take ownership of it. And so, you know, I feel like they would be the ones to like, you know, be able to check you, check mm-hmm. you a little bit when you're like, okay, you know, like maybe it might not be like this, maybe like within the parameters of like director,
yeah,
talk
the
to the dance. Yeah, 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 exactly. It's a professional environment. You know, that being said, there's like, you know, people who have grown their families there,
right.
you know, everybody has like a life, you know,
mm-hmm.
everybody has their thing that they do outside of being in this building 8 times a week. And so,
and there's a lot of people that are from South Africa, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but for when you guys do Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, mm-hmm. doesn't some of that money go directly to some of the tribes that they're related to?
Yes,
in
it
South
does.
Africa?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Directly
really
back to
cool.
South Africa. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's really cool that, you know, Disney Theatrical would partner with a show like this and be able to like do something way more personal with all the money that we raise every single year, twice a year. And so, yeah, it's a personal touch. And every actor, every performer from South Africa, in not just in the Broadway show, but within the tours and like everywhere, all the productions around the world, they bring something so special and so specific to this show that, you know, just can't be duplicated with any old person, anybody
mm-hmm.
else, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's something special that Disney adds to this experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to. It's a requirement. You have to like be able to have the heartbeat of this production, and you know, it resides within those South African performers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of touch on he's opening a seltzer.
Oh, here we go. I love this. Here.
Ah, oh, perfect sound. We won't say the name because they're not sponsoring us.
Oh, that's right.
But I wanted to touch on the idea of visualization, because especially right now we're trapped in our houses and sometimes we feel like there's nothing we can really do. And you have an interesting story with being in Lion King because you visualized it for so long. You would tell me that you would have dreams of you in the costume of Simba. You would have visions of you being on a billboard for this show for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the power, or how do you think the power of visualization helped you with this show?
I mean, I think that was everything with me with this show. Ever since that first time, you know, I get so happy when I actually think about that aspect of like joining the show, because I believe that first time since I went back to the airport, and I have flights in and out of New York since then, my eyes would always flock to, you know, those little stands with brochures and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. Well, Lion King is like this bright yellow,
mm-hmm.
bright yellow brochure that like just seems to stand out from all the other brochures, all the other Broadway shows that you see in those little brochure stands,
mm-hmm.
in the airport, in a hotel, everywhere you go, really. And so,
yeah, they have advertising money.
Exactly. Oh, and lots of it, lots of it. It's just like ever since I had that first experience, I would see that brochure and like I would almost visualize my face with that mask on.
Mm-hmm.
On the cover of it. And even up until the point where I was doing Beautiful, I would get off the subway at 49th sometimes, and like I would walk through Times Square to get over to the Sondheim,
mm-hmm.
Instead of just going straight to 42nd Street and then getting off there. But every time I would walk through Times Square, like your eyes just flock to the Minskoff. You look up and you see Simba again. You see, and whoever is in the mask at that time, I mean, every time the commercial came on, I visualized myself in that mask. Every time I like looked up at the billboard, I visualized, I was like, I think it's still possible. I think it's still possible. And then when the audition came through, it was just kind of like, okay, here we go again,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And what I think is really cool is that your parents initially helped you pay for your flight when you were back in Atlanta and
they
didn't have the money. They helped you out without questioning it at all. Mm-hmm. And now it's nice because you're in a position where it's like you can thank them and they invested in you so long ago. You know, and they came and saw the show and it was his whole family came actually.
Well, it was one of the things where I was just like, that's why I need to be in New York permanently. Mm. You know, it took me a longer time than I think most of my friends
I know.
And most people. Yeah, you know. Like, when you gonna stop dragging your feet and get up here? They have been my biggest supporters throughout everything.
I love them so much. They're the most supportive parents.
They've been there when I was making $50 doing, you know, being an ensemble member. And I just feel like I feel so grateful and honored to be able to give back, you know, allowing me to come in back and forth from the house whenever I was in between gigs and stuff like that. It's so appreciated and I love them so much for that.
Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. funny because even here, so right now we are in Lake Placid, New York, in the Adirondacks where I grew up. We're isolating here as soon as Broadway closed.
As soon as I got the email.
Literally, next day, yeah. We had rented a car and we decided, okay, let's go up to Lake Placid for a week while it cools down. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A week.
Little did we know.
A month later, we're still here. There's a few restaurants that are still open for takeout only, and we'll go in. And Michael's like a little celebrity here because I have a father that likes to brag all around town. But people will be like, oh, it's the Broadway star from Lion King. And so I think it makes my parents really proud, too. I mean, everybody proud.
We've been here for so long now. I'm like,
how are you feeling?
I'm like juggling I'm juggling the idea of going down to the grocery store and saying, hey, can I have an application?
I know they're hiring. I mean, and there's no shame in working at the grocery store.
I feel like they're just as much on the front lines as, well, I mean, of course, healthcare workers are like right there in the face of it. Like if they were the military, I think grocery store and like all the essential workers would be the equivalent of like
firefighters.
Their backup. And, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We need them right now.
Let's talk about the email that you got when this COVID-19 thing happened. What did the Broadway producers tell you from Lion King? What was the deal?
Okay, so got the email about...
Because it was like at night, wasn't it? Because you were
It was. It was. I was getting ready to, you know, get my stuff together and head out the door. And then something in the back of my mind told me, like, we might not go to work tonight. And we got that email and they were like, hey, stay at home. In addition, like with this COVID-19 thing, the producers have talked and they've met and we've come to the agreement that we are going to take a month off. And so that was kind of like jarring in itself. I mean, because of course we talk about this in the dressing room and we talk about it on, you know, off stage and everything like that. And like people were anticipating like, okay, with the way this thing is developing, like in China and Italy and the way flights are set up and like people are coming in and out of the States, in and out of New York, not only like an international place, but like it's so densely populated that like if anything happened there, if anything got loose there, like we knew it would be crazy. And especially because we work in theater. We work in a industry.
Crowded space.
Exactly. It's always crowded. Always crowded
and
space.
At that point, maybe 2 days before that, they announced that the ushers for some Broadway shows tested positive.
That's right.
There were a few.
I mean, that was two days before.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So like it was already like making its way and like kind of hitting close.
I remember being nervous for you to go to work because I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to be around so many people. And sure. I know that one of the first things they did right was they told you no more backstage tours. That was kind of
the first. So like this happened on a Thursday. That Monday, or maybe even like a week before that, they started to kind of put a curb on the backstage tours. We don't need any more people backstage than necessary. If you are backstage or if you have family, like just tell them like you'll meet them on the outside. But like we cannot afford to do backstage tours right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they happen all the time at Lion King.
Right.
Yeah, it's an experience. Like people want to come backstage and see how all of that stuff is done. It's such a, your mind is going on like this amazing trip. And like, you're just like, okay, like how did that happen?
On the Instagram post, when we're promoting this episode on at Nico Frank Productions, I'm going to also make a slide post where you can see some of Michael's photos from his debut as Simba, because it really is amazing. And some of our photos from backstage.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So they said you were going to be closed for a month.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting back to it, like we were, you know, we would talk backstage and we anticipated something like this would happen. We did not know it was going to be a month. You know, we were like, okay, yeah, they'll probably shut down for a week or two, maybe, like, clean all the theaters, scrub everything down, and, like, you know, it'll be business as usual. Mm-hmm. Well, no, like, this thing, like, caught fire. I mean, they had to do the necessary thing, which is like, okay, I get it. As we're progressing week by week, we see the numbers are climbing up. Now we're at a point where we're unsure as to when we're going to go back. I mean, we haven't heard from the producers. We haven't heard from Equity just yet. They said April 12th, but like, we know that's not going to happen. There's no way. Based on what people are saying, like, Italy is like 3 weeks behind us or so. And like, you look, you try to look at that and you try to like compare it to like what's going on now. But like, you really can't. I don't think anybody can put a date or a number on this.
Right. It's really crazy.
It's something that we've never seen before. And so it's really, it's very hard to say when we are going to get back to work.
At first, were you thinking to yourself, wow, I've like never in the last 5 years have I ever had enough time to go home and, you know, see my in-laws and be like, have a few weeks to myself. Like at first, when you thought it was just going to be a month, were you kind of like, cool, I'll get to rest?
I was a little relieved. I'm not going to lie. I was a little relieved at first. I was like, oh my God. For the first time in a very long time, a lot of Broadway performers are going to get the break that they so very deserve.
And need.
Our voices, our bodies sometimes go through hell to be able to bring those 8 shows, you know, to the best of our ability. One of my first initial reactions was like, okay, wow, we get a little break. Our bodies can catch up. Our bodies can, like, you know, just get the rest that we need and be able to absorb and bounce back rejuvenated, and shows are going to be better than ever before. Well, now.
Yeah.
Now I think a lot of us are at the point where we're just like, get me back in that building. Get me back on that stage, please, guys.
So what are you doing now? Tell the people, because I mean, I have a basic idea because I see you 24/7 every single day. Mm-hmm. But what are you doing to stay motivated and to stay happy? And
you know, I believe the first 2 weeks here, I didn't know what to do with myself at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do with myself, and I just like, because
this is a very small town. Anyone doesn't know, I mean, it's like you're in the middle of the mountains. Yeah. My mom lives in a log cabin, like, so we've been in hiking in the woods a lot.
Yeah, it's very peaceful. The hikes have been our refuge. Mm-hmm. I believe, like, yeah, being able to be in the trees and like go on these trails. Our dog is living his best life. He's the happiest he's ever been out here off the leash. It was one of those things where I didn't know what to do with myself for the first 2 weeks. I was just like, first of all, there was like this thing, you go back and forth in your mind. You're like, okay, when this does start up, I need to be ready and I don't need to be eating all this stuff. So like, when I get back to the show, I'm not like busting out of my costume and I'm not out of shape. I need to be ready to go, fire on all cylinders. But on the other hand, I was just like, I need to rest. I need to rest my body. Meanwhile, you're looking online and like there's all this pressure to create. Mm-hmm. Like people are like, okay, you have all this time. There's no excuse. You need to be putting stuff out there that you've never done before. You need to have A, B, C, and D done and executed. You need to be planning, you know, the rest of your life, and you need to be doing this and that and that. That's pressure.
And it's
that's pressure because so like you can't force art. You can't force creativity sometimes. And so like, and you feel guilty because people are saying, well, that's what you got to do. That's what you need to do as an artist. And,
right.
You know, sometimes.
I even felt guilty asking you to do this morning.
No, anything for you. Of course. Like, but on the flip side, I feel like stillness overall is what we're learning right now.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when the world stops? I think it's such a humbling experience for like a lot of people.
Right.
Because especially a lot of people in New York, you can't just tell people in New York to like sit down.
Right.
Because it's nonstop. It never stops. You know the energy up there. I feel like this is such a time where, you know, I don't know what you believe in, but like the universe, the powers that be, Mother Nature, whatever is telling us, just be still. Just be still.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, I know that like I have been really enjoying meditating, which is something I always said, oh, right, I want to do more of that. And I did do it sparingly in New York. I have made an effort to do it, mm-hmm, a lot. And I've been like focusing a lot on just my health and my positive thinking.
Yeah.
And
that's key.
And I actually, The other day, I was listening to Oprah talk about her gratitude journal that she keeps, and she's been keeping it for decades.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to do that. I think that's a really good idea. It kind of goes hand in hand with your visualization idea, right? It's like the same idea of like seeing something you want, or like giving thanks to something that you already have, the power that can have in your life.
Yeah, it's putting energy out there towards
it. Exactly. And I've been reading this book about just health in general, and it talks about how the power of breathing in clean air. So when we do have a chance to go on these walks, I'm just grateful because we're not in a crowded park in the city and we can breathe in fresh oxygen from the trees. And if that's the only thing we get done in a day, well, we did something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We also taught a little voiceover seminar.
That was something that we, even before this all went down, we were talking about doing anyway, putting together, and it was a success for the first one.
Like, we wanted to do it because so many people reach out to you and me about voiceovers, and we're both professional voiceover artists as well, so it's nice to be able to. We kind of formulated this class which shows you exactly what to do when you really don't know much about voiceover. It's really catered to beginners.
Sure.
And we're probably going to be doing more of them, so definitely you can follow us on our Instagrams and Facebook. We'll tag Michael. And
yeah, that was a good joint effort that we were able to like put our heads together for and do together. Other than that, like, I have been enjoying like getting up in the morning. First thing in the morning, like, I want to run. And I have to definitely pay attention to my body because I haven't been used to like just running outdoors.
And
like,
what lake for have miles you and miles. Been running around?
Been running around Mirror Lake in the middle of town. It's been my sanctuary. It's been my personal meditation, like getting up in the morning and running around this lake. And I feel great afterwards. You know, it's just, there's literally nobody out there. I feel like it's just me and nature and God and my own, my lungs wheezing.
Not from the coronavirus.
No. But like, I'm able to like, you know, first thing in the morning, I'm able to like get my mind together, you know, a good album or something that I haven't listened to in a long time, something that gets me fired up. I'll just run around that lake.
Yeah. Anytime I'm inspired to do something, I'll do it. But this like pressure to like shoot a short film or write a pilot or write the next Broadway musical, it is a lot.
Yeah. We should listen to our own creative minds, and it can be hard to like tune out what's going on in the world. But, you know, along the way, I think it works itself out. Like, it takes time. It does take time. Instead of like letting what's going on in the world kind of crush you.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to like use that and transfer that energy into like something creative, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
No, definitely.
Yeah. It's a difficult task with your thoughts swirling and just kind of create something and put something on paper.
It really makes you focus on your thoughts, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts of anxiety. Why? Yeah. Why do I have that? That doesn't help me at all. Okay, let's change those thoughts to positive thinking. Yeah. I have to work on my patience, which we've talked about during this quarantine moment in time. That's because, one thing I know I really want to work on.
Sure.
And, you know, I think at the end of the day, the reason why I wanted to do this podcast was just so that I want people to know that you're not alone. And we talk a lot about hoping that after all this, everything will be okay. I mean, what's it going to be like when we go back? Are people going to... I wonder if, like, Broadway shows are going to be at, like, half capacity at first. Or I'm not sure how that's going to go, but...
They probably will. We're going to have to ease back into this because people are going to be antsy for things to get started up. But I don't think it's going to start back up at full capacity. I don't think there's any way that can happen.
Let's talk a little bit about the future in a dreaming sense and back to this visualization idea. Are there any shows in New York that are currently on? And let's say in the most wonderful scenario, all the shows come back. I know there's already a few that unfortunately are not coming back. Are there any shows right now that you would love to be in or you could see yourself auditioning for?
I don't know. I don't know what shows I may see coming through for me.
Well, I know you want to get more into TV, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Exactly. You know, I would love to like try to start to make a transition there. But, you know, in the meantime, I hope to be back with Lion King and, you know, do that for a while. I mean, because I'm still new. I'm still new to it.
Yeah. And I'm sure we asked you this on the first season, but perspectives change. What advice would you give to a young Black boy wanting to do musical theater who's just moving to New York? And let's say this is after the coronavirus and everything's healed. What's some of your advice that you would give?
probably to be patient, know that everything's a journey, and you know, don't expect things to just pop off immediately.
Right.
You know, like in my perspective, and a lot of people know this by now, but like, you know, I didn't find myself in New York until I was 30 years old, and you know, I had a lot of questions and a lot of doubts and a lot of fears in that, but you know, my journey and my experience found me where I was at that time. So, you know, never compare yourself to someone else in that regard. Know that everything happens in its own time. You know, just continue to just be you and be who you are and be fierce.
I love it. Yeah.
All right, stay tuned because there's more to come at the Cool Kids table.
So there's a little thing I wanted to tell you about Michael from Radio Free Brooklyn. COVID-19 is obviously disrupting everyone's lives right now, and Radio Free Brooklyn is no exception. So we want you to know that we have made every effort to ensure the health and well-being of our hosts, staff, and the community at large. We've closed both of our studios and canceled live events, but our hosts are still doing their best to continue bringing new original programming by broadcasting live and pre-recording from their home studios, which is what we're doing right now. With most of our revenue streams evaporated, we do need your help. We realize that you may be hurting too, but if you can afford a small donation, it would go a long way towards helping us stay on the air. Here are three ways that you can help. First, you can give a one-time or monthly donation by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. There you'll find t-shirts, mugs, and other swag that we'd like to send your way just to say thanks. You can also use your phone to text RFBGive5 to 44321. It only takes a moment and you'll be able to use your digital wallet for your donation. Finally, if you do shop at Amazon, you can go to amazon.com/smile and register Radio Free Brooklyn as the nonprofit you wish to support. When you do, a small percentage of your sale will go to RFB and it will literally cost you nothing. No donation is too big or too small. Whatever you can afford will make a huge difference. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we wish all of our listeners health and happiness as we weather this storm together.
Winging it, they're just winging it. Winging it, they're just winging it.
So for our winging it, I just thought we would stick to this whole being grateful visualizing exercise. So I'm going to ask you some questions and you'll just give me your answer. Okay, so name four things you were grateful for yesterday.
Mirror Lake, health and happiness to you and I, mm-hmm. to the three of us, my parents, your parents.
Yeah.
Roby's Grill sitting right outside the house that we can just fire up when we need some good grill food.
Yeah, we had a good dinner last night.
That's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew. I mean, I love like barbecue food anyway. Yeah. Like, so like whenever I can throw something on the grill, it just, you know, something about it, it tastes better. I'm grateful for my Nutribullet.
Oh, yeah, that thing you make your juice with.
Yeah, a juice and a run in the morning.
And like, Cameron gave you that. Shout out to Cameron Bean, your BFF. Okay, what's one thing you've done to give back during this time?
First of all, I've given to Broadway Cares, the Actors Fund. I think
anybody... I didn't even know that. That's nice.
Yeah. Give a little bit to the Actors Fund because... you know, we all need it. So mm-hmm. it's like giving back to ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to listen in on my home church. My mom and dad are doing their church services from our house in West Point.
Mm-hmm.
And so like being able to listen in and being able to give back to their ministry. Things that you can do that so you don't feel so stuck and helpless,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. Shout out to my friends, Chris Deals, my friend Rachel Jones, for, you know, they're still teaching. Again, people I'm grateful for are the teachers right now, kind of on the front lines, trying to be able to do what they can to like still educate America. I was able to like be kind of like a guest within their Zoom classes and kind of talk to kids about my experience, what Broadway's experiencing now, and that's been great.
And what's one time you've laughed really hard?
I mean, I laugh at you daily.
My outfits? My makeup?
I laugh at Ralphie every day, too. He does something every day that, like, just blows my mind.
Okay, and what do you visualize, Michael, for dinner tonight?
Spaghetti and meatballs. Her mother made a meatloaf.
Oh, my God.
What was it? It's probably 2 weeks ago now.
Good.
That was really good.
It had, like, a ketchup glaze on it.
Like, if she pulled up and surprised us with another meatloaf, that I would not be mad at that. Pull up, mama.
All right.
Pull up.
a little bit of a different wing in it, but you know what? This is what we got, so just go with
it. That's it. That's it. That's what we got. Come on, we in a pandemic. We doing what we can.
From all of us here at the Cool Kids Table, and we miss Spiro so much. We love you, man.
Hey, Spiro.
It's not the same without you.
I try to do my best. But these are big shoes to fill.
That's right. All right. Well, we love you. This is Maggie Stiggers and Michael Stiggers.
Signing off live from Lake Placid from Roby's basement.
Via Radio Free Brooklyn.
Via Radio Free Brooklyn. Have a great day.
Please be sure to subscribe to our monthly newsletter for the latest news about new programming and upcoming RFB events. You can sign up at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. Again, that's radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. The Cool Kids Table is executive produced by Spiro Marcos and Maggie Stiggers. Music is by Bree Cade and Zach Silva. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to subscribe, download, and share this podcast with a friend. Also, check out our sketch show, Theater School Dropouts, currently streaming on Amazon Prime. Stay cool. Stay kind.